Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
They have the second overall pick.
Yeah, they've been discussing shopping him for a couple of days now.
And which I find interesting. Very, very interesting. Because the Rams have done, actually the Rams are the one team, they have done more interviews and time with Johnny Manziel than any other team. And I know you can't, I mean, he goes to Cleveland. He'll be the best quarterback in your division. But, I mean, I'm just saying.
No, no, he needs to go to Cleveland. I really want that to happen.
What did you do? What did you do here? Did you move to, like, are you in the parking lot? Where are you?
No, why?
You sounded like you were in a box somewhere.
Do I sound distant or what?
Not anymore.
Now you don't. You sound a lot better.
I mean, this was the guy.
Did you have your feet up talking to us? What were you doing?
No, I might have had a loose wire.
And this,
There's your freebie for the day.
No, don't do it.
A wide range of possibilities.
Yeah, don't touch that one, Steve. Just let it out there. The world understands.
There's your freebie for the day. Don't say I ever did.
And this from the guy who won the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters Award.
Yeah, imagine what the others did. So they're talking about dealing him. Because, I mean, Manziel would come in, he'd be the best quarterback in your division anyway. I mean, exciting, as opposed to the statues you've got in that league.
Steve.
Dalton. Flacco, Roethlisberger, statue division.
Has there ever been a more controversial potential early draft pick than Johnny Manziel? I mean, he is really...
That's a great question, Bob.
I just can't think of anybody going back over the, the last few years of drafting where people have incredible and diverse opinions about this guy, and a lot of people just don't seem to like him. Among other things.
He's been as polarizing a figure and polarizing a critique as anybody I've seen in the draft in a long, long time.
Yeah, there's no middle ground, is there?
There really isn't. In the end, it's only my opinion, I think the team that drafts him gets a winner. I really do. I think in the end, the team that gets him gets a winner, because the game is not a 1995 or even a 2005 game anymore. Movement at that position means something now. Movement takes an offensive line a little bit out of the equation, which helps. Because teams are not running the football. This is not 1985 football anymore. People are not getting up there and, hey, we're going to get there. He's going to run the ball 400 times. Nobody runs the ball 400 times. I mean, this is the old Hank Stram, let's matriculate the ball down the field, fellas. Well, you do that by throwing the football. And I think he, as polarizing as he is, I think the team that drafts him, I think makes the right pick.
Can't read a defense.
How do you know that? How do you know that? Where does that come from? Does that come from your personal observation?
No.
Breaking down tape? Where does can't read a defense come from?
I watched what Merrill Hodge said, all right? And he makes excellent points. He does not see where the blitz is coming from, nor is he able to react to where the open receiver is going to be because of the blitz coming. So what happens is he ends up scrambling and then makes something happen. I think you can get away with that in college. I don't think you can get away with it in the NFL.
Actually, I think you can get away with the NFL. I think it's the unpredictability. And guess what? You know what a guy like that does? When you chase him all night, guess what happens? You get tired. And I just think that, will he make mistakes? Yes. Will he, Will he have some days where he's off? Yeah. Will he make plays that will just sit back and thrill your fan base? He absolutely will.
Well, I think he will too. I just don't know that they're going to outnumber the positive, the negative plays.
I mean, I think Cleveland's in a spot right now where they got to hope the Rams don't pick them. I think Cleveland really, because Cleveland needs a quarterback.
No, there's no question about that.
And you can't sit there. I think when you sit there and like, we're going to play it safe, right? There are only a few guys in the history of this game you can play it safe with. When the Steelers drafted Roethlisberger, they rolled it a little bit. They rolled the dice because, because in college, he played the Mid-American Conference.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Okay, so, I mean, he's got the size, strength, arm, the whole thing. But he then brought to the table, and something he's lost a little bit over time because of the injuries. Roethlisberger's mobility has been a huge plus for him during the course of his career. Now, he's got less of that now, and he's also been less effective because he doesn't move as well. But his mobility as a quarterback in the first... 7 years of his career, I think was a difference maker, making him an elite quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think when there have been very few guys that look at it and go, oh my goodness, absolute lock and pans out. And that's Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck to me is this is the gold standard of drafting a quarterback moving forward. Indianapolis, you look at their personnel. Really? And yet they're in the playoffs with this guy. He's just that good.
They're not packed with all pro people to help them along, that's for sure.
They just aren't. I think in a draft, this is also not the 1980s and 90s where you draft a guy and you know what we're going to do? We're going to train him. Get him assisted. Man, you draft a guy in the first two rounds, guess what? The dude has to play.
Immediately.
All right? Okay? Has to. If you draft Blake Bortles, you are not drafting Blake Bortles in the first round of the draft to have him sit. It's not how the 2014 NFL works anymore. Right? That's why the Steelers, they aren't going to draft a quarterback. There's no way they're going to draft a quarterback. They can't waste picks drafting a quarterback. They got two. They're done.
Yep.
All right? They're not going to waste a fourth or fifth round pick on a guy. I'd be shocked if they did. I mean, last year they wasted one on Landry Jones. You can't do that.
I really liked that pick when I first heard it, and then the more I saw, the more I didn't.
Grooming a guy, okay. The one guy I can't really tell you about is whether Aaron Rodgers would have been this good if he had played right away. But, he sat behind Brett Favre for 4 years.
Talk about putting in your time.
4 years. I mean, 4 years. You watch him play now. They probably hung on to Favre 2 years too long. I mean, with the number of mistakes that he made as time went just based on judgment. But... when you draft a guy now, he has to be in your pool and ready to play ASAP. The team that drafts Teddy Bridgewater is not going to be drafting Teddy Bridgewater despite what he's done in his workouts and the other assorted problems that he's had getting to this point. They're not going to, if he gets drafted in the second round, he's being drafted to play. He's not being drafted to be groomed. Okay, the grooming thing is done. All right, this is not 1955 any longer. I mean, we got day World Series games and you're grooming quarterbacks. The World Series is at night, so you can watch it all the time and the quarterback's drafted. Because the college offenses and the NFL offenses now are becoming more similar systematically.
I have a question for you. Can you hang, if you're Cleveland, can you hang out and skip Johnny Manziel? Maybe you feel that Johnny Manziel isn't a fit for Cleveland. Can you hang out until, what is it, 26 that they have again, and still find a Bridgewater or a Carr?
Well, if you think that guy fits what you want to do,
no, I mean, do you think that will they be around at that point? Is what I'm asking.
I think Bridgewater will be. I think somebody will trade up to get Carr.
See, I wonder about Cleveland taking Manziel in the fourth pick, or if they go just a completely different route. I don't know what route that might be, but if they go a completely different route and then wait and pick one of those guys up later.
Cleveland has not been good at quarterback since Brian Sipe.
I thought you were right.
Well, and then my question is, if you're Cleveland, do you want to waste a fourth round pick, get your fan base really excited, and then find out this guy's not going to be any better?
Wasn't it?
But Kevin, that's with anybody.
True.
Yeah.
Okay.
True.
It's with anybody. You can't just say, "Well, this guy." There are very few Andrew Lucks where you look at him and say, "You know what? This guy will go to the NFL. He'll be great. He already runs the show. You like the way he handles himself. Pro style offense. The whole thing." There just aren't many guys like that. When the Redskins took RG3. Which I still think is a very good draft pick. I mean, this is the make-or-break year coming up for him, because he'll be 18 months removed from that torn ACL, which will then he'll have the strength in that knee and the freedom of movement to play this year that he had in his first year, right? So now we'll really find out, especially with DeSean Jackson now in the mix, how good he can be. But he was the second overall pick in the draft, but there were questions about him when he came out. Like, okay, what kind of pick is this? There are questions about Ryan Tannehill when he got picked. There are questions about everybody across the board all the time about guys that get picked. Courtney Brown, I tell you right now, I watched Courtney Brown play every down of his career at Penn State. I thought he was going to be a dynamic NFL player. Well, guess what? He got hurt. When he played really well. The problem is he didn't play enough. So you just don't know. You just don't know what you're going to get. And that's one thing about this draft. This is one of those NFL drafts where there are very few lead pipe lock cinches. Very few. There's questions about almost everybody on this board. Khalil Mack doesn't have a lot of questions. He appears to be safe. The tackles, the offensive tackles they're talking in this draft, right, appear to have very few questions about them. They all appear to be rock-solid, really good picks. But most of the other guys in this, Watkins doesn't have a lot of questions on him either. After that, who's a lead pipe cinch in this draft? Is the wideout from Texas A&M? The question on him is that Mike Evans, is that he's straight line speed, isn't that fast? Didn't run precise routes. But he's got size and he's got good hands, but he's not a lead pipe cinch to be a star in the league. And people are saying he's the seventh overall pick of the draft.
I've heard a lot about Robinson from Auburn going to as number two.
Right. Well, I'm saying, though, but he's one of those picks that a lot of people think is going to be a good, solid pro and will easily make the transition to be a good, solid pro. All right? Now, take Clowney. Clowney has a world of talent. It was almost comical that they made him do, zone drops at his workout day. There isn't a single team that's picking him to do a zone drop. Okay, they're going to put him on the edge and go, okay, you see the guy right there with the single-digit number? Get him. Okay? The question with him is, despite all that talent, all those physical tools, people wonder about the ticker.
Yeah.
Okay? Look at how many plays does he take off. Where is it? Is his heart into playing this game? He's one of those guys where I think he was aching to come out after his sophomore year at South Carolina. And he played last year like a guy who was aching to come out after his sophomore year at South Carolina. So here's an ultra-talented guy. Nobody questions his talent. But is he a good football player? Be a good football player, you got to have the ticker going on every down. Especially in this league, okay? In this league, the talent has now dramatically changed. Okay, when you run out there, even the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, that's the Cleveland Browns. Well, guess what, Jadavian? That's Joe Thomas over there. You didn't face a Joe Thomas in the SEC. You didn't face anybody in the SEC close to Joe Thomas. They don't need a back to chip on you. Joe Thomas can handle you all by himself. He doesn't need help. Doesn't need a tight end to stay in. Sorry, Jatavion, but welcome to the league.
Yep.
Okay? He doesn't need help. In the SEC, everybody needed help. There are no Joe Thomases in the SEC. And he's with Cleveland. He's not with Seattle. He's not with Denver. He's with Cleveland. Okay? The talent level squeezes out. Okay? That's why being a star in this league, you got to be really, really good to be a star in this league, because the talent level closes up that dramatically.
Seems like the one variable in this draft is that thing called luck. Because some people are going to hit it.
Yeah.
Some people are going to just get it spot on, and others are not. And there's also that thing that Pittsburgh Steelers have been so good at for so many years, which is assessing talent and finding the gem out there that is really out there.
Have they?
Well, not recently, all right. I don't think.
Okay, in the 70s?
Yes.
Yes. Certain points, the Steelers have lived on the rep of being an awesome drafting team since the 70s.
True.
Okay, to their credit, they've stayed at or near the top most of the time, which is quite a feat in today's game.
Mm-hmm.
The area where they have not done well in, okay, their recent drafts have been problematic, and how they've handled free agency has been problematic. Okay, when it comes to free agency and the ability to not get a star, you're not going to get a star in free agency, but to fill needs in free agency, they've been one of the slower teams to adapt to that part of how today's NFL works.
That's kind of a Rooney. I was chalked it up to a Rooney thing. The Rooneys
had
the reputation, and I think the culture inside the corporate offices at the Steelers is still built around the draft, and I think you're right. They are slow on the uptake when it comes to looking out, and do they really want to sign a free agent? Well, let's draft somebody. I think there's a mentality there.
Right. Now they've done a little bit in that area. I think getting Lance Moore was a good, solid, nice, not a star or anything like that, but here's a guy who can make some plays and move the chains down the field. Good pickup. The Mitchell kid at safety, that's another good, solid pickup. I think you've seen the Steelers make a couple of good pickups along the way, which is how free agency works. Free agency isn't, oh my goodness, Albert Pujols is available. 10 years, $225 million.
Right.
Okay? In NFL free agency, there aren't any Albert Pujolses.
Yeah.
Okay? You have a lot. And see, the Steelers, what, they went 8-8 last year?
I think okay, Kevin so right painfully remembers that.
Yeah, but they're right there in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's where they are. Okay, what can they do in this draft to change their fortunes? Because they're in a division where they can. The one thing about the Steelers is that they are in a division that you can win it next season.
Yes.
Okay, Baltimore is okay. Cincinnati is okay, and I don't quite get the commitment to Andy Dalton. Okay, if I were Cincinnati, I would draft a quarterback. Okay, no offense. If I were Cincinnati, I would. I don't see where he takes you to the next level.
No.
I don't see it. All right? I think he's smart. I think he brings intelligence to the game. But you can be really, really smart, and when the time comes for the big moment, even intelligent people let nerves get to them. And I don't see him in big moments acting intelligent. It's don't.
He just doesn't have Super Bowl contender written on the top of his helmet.
No, I mean, and Cincinnati is, to me, Cincinnati is the single most talented team in the division. You look at their talent, 1 through 45. No team in that division has more overall talent than the Bengals do in that division on this day at this hour.
But they figure out a way to become the Bungles.
Well, let's get something straight here. They've been in the playoffs the last 3 years, Kevin.
Right.
Okay. This is not a team that has four or five wins in each of the last 3 years.
I agree.
You can't say that. You can't say that.
But no, what I'm saying is when they do get to that situation, they find a way to become the Bungles and not go any further.
Kevin, they're better than your team.
How many rings do they have?
Rings? Kevin, right now, today, they are better than your team. They are better than your. I'm talking about today. I am not talking about Jack Lambert, Jack Ham.
I'm not arguing about today. No.
Okay, they're a better team and franchise right now than what you have.
What I'm saying is they always find a way to fall apart in the playoffs. That's what I'm saying. No matter how good they are.
Your team fell apart in the regular season, okay? Okay, they didn't get there.
That's fine.
Okay? I'm saying, okay, it's not a question of falling apart in the playoffs. The question is what then takes them to the next level. Okay, if Roethlisberger changes teams and he's Cincinnati's quarterback, they advance. Okay, he's a better quarterback than Andy Dalton.
But that's exactly my point.
Okay, no, the key is for them to get something out of that spot. That's what kills them. And then that question of becoming the Bungles. I mean, don't play that game. I'm not playing games here. They've got better talent than your football team. Better. That's why they're a playoff team every year now, and you're not. The question is, why don't they get past X level? And he's the reason they're not getting past X level. Their wideouts are better. Their running backs are better. Their defense is better. They're better than your football team almost across the board. Except in that spot, they are not. And for whatever reason, they want to re-sign him because they think moving forward, he's the guy. I think that's a mistake in judgment on their part. But the last 3 years, okay, you can go, how many rings do we have? The NFL is not about how many rings you have in the past. The NFL is about how good are you now. Okay? I mean, how good are you now? I mean, the New York Jets have more rings than the Bengals do, Kevin.
Yep.
Right? Except that ring was won in 1968.
The Bengals, were they around in 68?
No. Yes, they were.
Were they around in 68?
Yes, they were. Yep.
Well, see, they still haven't got 68. They didn't even find a ring.
But I'm saying though, but you don't understand, Kevin. Right now, they're better than your team.
I admit that. But they find a way to lose when it counts. That's what I'm saying. Whether it's a person or a team, I don't know.
Your team lost its last Super Bowl too. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security.
The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory Emporia Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, we try to point out as often as we can it's 2014 and not 1984 on this show. We do that for the benefit of the co-host.
Bob, that's not nice of him to say that.
No, considering that you...
I mean, you come in, you're a nice guy, but I don't think you're stuck in the 80s, Bob.
I am not.
No, I didn't think
actually,
so.
Actually, it's the 1880s, maybe. But
That's a different set of 80s.
Yeah.
All I know is Kevin dresses like Ben Affleck in Argo.
I've seen that outfit. Well, you know what we ought to do for Thursday's show is invite callers to tell us what team they're representing in the draft and who they'll pick. And we can go from there. But it seems to me there's a lot more controversy in the 2014 draft. We've talked on two of them.
It's no lead pipe cinches, and that's the problem with this draft.
Yeah.
You know, you look at it, like he's talking to me that the Steelers may trade down.
Yeah.
I don't think they can afford to trade down. I really don't. I think they need to pick out the guy that they need and get him.
But I think it's deep enough at corner. Listen, the big needs are corner and wide receiver. Corner first. And then and I put defensive line as number three for Pittsburgh. So I would go corner, wide receiver, defensive line. That's the way I would draft it. And I think you're going to find that cornerback, below pick 15. And I think you can end up getting maybe another second round or even another third round. Because if you look at the way the Steelers' picks work out, they have the 15th pick in the first round, the 46th overall pick in two, and then the compensatory selection, which is 97 in the third round. They have an opportunity to grab another pick either early second round or even late second round, early third round, and really make a difference in this team if they trade down from that pick 15. And I think it's available to them. I think they can find somebody willing to do that.
I think it's a mistake.
Because if you look at...
They need to take the 15th pick. They need to get the corner they want. They can get any wideout they want in round two, and they can get a defensive lineman in round three. I think it actually, where they sit right now, falls just right for them if they're smart about it.
If you take pick, say, 22, trade down 7, then you're going to have another pick at 46... Then you may actually get yourself another pick at like 50 to 60 and then have another pick at 97. I think you could really make a big difference in the draft if you do that.
Okay, then pick out who that is. Who do you trade to?
Well, I don't know. I think you have to consider it more position. Oh, who do you trade to in the who do you trade that 15th pick to?
You have to have a willing partner that then allows you to do what you're talking about.
One of the things I think
Who's the willing partner?
You look across the state. I think the Eagles are willing to make a move like that and move up if they can get the wide receiver. If they feel they can get a wide receiver there.
The Eagles have the fewest picks of anybody in the draft.
22 is their first overall pick.
That's irrelevant.
No, I know. Okay? I'm just saying.
Okay, that's irrelevant where they pick, all right, in the first round. Where do they pick in rounds 2, 3, and 4?
I have to look it up. I'm not sure now off the top of my head.
See, that's my point about this. In other words, you have to, if you're gonna trade in this thing, it not only has to be a willing partner, but it has to then be in the spots that you need.
Eagles have pick 22. They have the pick 54, which is the 22nd pick of the second round. Pick 86, which is the 22nd pick of the third round. Actually, they're all 22nd picks. First, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. I'm sorry, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and seventh. They're all the 22nd pick of each round.
All right. So one round they don't pick.
They don't pick in the sixth.
Right. Yeah. Because I was told the Eagles have, I think, the five. They're only like three or four of the teams that have as few picks as they do. So you have to have if you're doing what, you know, the key is, I think, to find a team, okay, that allows you to pick in a spot, and then I think gives you flexibility in a couple of other rounds. And that's what you have to find. I mean, trading down is,
The
Eagles have never been a team that's traded down.
And you look at other
Steelers,
teams.
The Steelers have never been a team that's traded down.
Well, they
the
did.
Eagles have never been a team that's traded up.
The Steelers traded down, 0-1, I think, was the when they traded down the first round. And that's when they picked up Casey Hampton.
Yeah.
Okay, no, I'm just saying. I'm just saying that's the last time. I was just giving you the date and who they chose. Right. I'm not saying that it's happened a lot.
Now, if it's the same group of people doing the drafting, okay, I can buy 13 years later at that point.
Yeah.
But see, that's what I mean. It's the personnel that does the job now. What did they do now? Take, for example, we've seen the Patriots over the years as to what they've done. Well, guess what? That's still Bill Belichick over there. So if the Patriots make a move, you're like, oh, well, that's no surprise, because the Patriots traditionally have made moves under him. Another group that used to do that were the 49ers. Well, that's not the same group running the 49ers now. Yeah, that's not DeBartolo. That's not Bill Walsh. That's not, okay, they traded all the time. Okay, so it depends on who's running your organization now.
There's one team that I think may be interested in moving up with the Steelers to come down, and it's a 5-pick move. I'm not sure what happens after that because they have 6 picks, and that's Arizona. Arizona might want to move up just if they feel that there's been a run on quarterbacks early.
Okay.
Because I think
Arizona has a quarterback.
I still listen. Quarterback's a need for Arizona.
Carson Palmer?
Quarterback's a need for Arizona.
Boy, I don't know. I think you missed on that one. I think Carson Palmer's just fine. Carson Palmer's got, I think, 2 or 3 good years left in him.
That's 2-1, Kevin. You're the minority.
I've seen it on a lot of draft boards that's a need in Arizona.
I don't see that. I think he actually solved it, and being with Bruce Arians is a huge plus.
Yeah. Bruce has elevated his game a lot.
I don't see that.
Okay.
I really don't. I mean, I know you're prejudiced against Carson Palmer because you didn't like him with the Bengals.
because he was a Bengal.
Because he was at the Bengals, and you didn't think he performed well at the Bengals and the Ray. But with Arians last year, he was tremendous.
Well, all right. I know you're not going to agree with this, but I think he's 34 years old.
Yeah.
I mean,
I said he's got 2 or 3 good,
right,
good years.
Right. He's got 2 or 3 good years.
How old's Ben?
How long? Well, I know, and that's a concern I have.
No, Ben's not that. Ben's with 31, 32, right?
Yeah, but he's got the injuries of a 34-year-old quarterback.
And the knees of a 50-year-old.
I mean, that's why the Steelers went and drafted a quarterback last year in Landry, but they won't do that this year. I think Arizona will look for a quarterback. Now, whether it'll be a first round or not, I don't know. But I'm just saying, if there's a run on them, they may make a move for the future there.
We'll know by Friday.
Maybe they can acquire Andy Dalton.
I mean, they already took care of their biggest need at left tackle.
Okay. Well, in this league, you have to be good. Your 5 cornerstones are your quarterback, your left tackle, rush end, shutdown corner, middle linebacker. Those are your 5 cornerstones. Okay? And then you build around your 5 cornerstones. Now, you're talking about Carson Palmer being 34.
Right.
They won 11 games last year with Carson Palmer.
Not bad.
And if the playoffs had expanded the way they're probably going to be in 2015, they would have been in. And they are the only team to beat Seattle at Seattle last season. I don't know that one. I don't see that one.
No.
That one I don't see. If it had been before Palmer's season last year, obviously I could buy that they need a quarterback because, I mean, really, Arizona's best quarterbacks have been the Kurt Warner, Carson Palmer types. They've never really had a young, dynamic. I mean, really, you think about the Cardinals' history, they've never really had a young, dynamic quarterback. Even Jim Hart, when he played in St. Louis, was, I mean, that's always been one of the Cardinals' big problems.
I still thought, though, that the Eagles would be the likely move if the Steelers were to make a move at 15, and the Eagles were looking to move up, and they were looking, and we know they were looking at wide receiver, right?
They want a wide out.
And my guess is probably Odell Beckham would probably be one of the guys at the top of their list. And if he's available at 15, would they make the move to get him, or do they think he's going to stick around at 15, or stick around at 22?
You get the feeling that the guy that's the highest rated on their board after Sammy Watkins, okay, let's take Watkins out of the mix, okay, is probably Mike Evans of Texas A&M.
No, I would think so, but I'd look for him to go early.
And they can't, and he'll be a top 10 pick. A lot of the every draft board seems to feel that he is a Tampa Bay guy.
Right.
Now, the argument would be, does Lovie Smith want to draft an offensive player? And as I point out to people all the time, what's the single greatest determinant as to how you play defense?
Well, and what brings people into the stands, too, to pay the salaries, too? Offense usually does.
Yeah, but it's not what a coach is thinking. Coach doesn't think about that. Winning games brings people in, okay? Winning games brings people in, okay? But you coach defense based on the kind of offense that you have. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Look, Steve disagreed with me so much he's done doing the show, Bob.
He's gone. But the good news is the Sunbury Motors mobile studio is mobile tomorrow afternoon.
That's right. It's going to be at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for the golf tournament. We'll be there 3 to 5 tomorrow. You're welcome to come out and join us if you're playing. Stick around from the first flight. If you're playing in the second flight, stop by and say hi. We'll be right on the veranda.
Ah, and we can pontificate about the various foibles of some of the duffers out on the course.
What is a foible, by the way?
It's like a personality fault.
Okay, because that one's not in my vocabulary. I have to use that one in a sentence three times a day.
All right, well then, practice for tomorrow, because you'll see plenty of foibles out there.
There'll be plenty of foibles for me.
Especially if you're out golfing with Jones.
Yeah, it should be entertaining. I'll say that. I'm sure there will be quite a few stories. Usually, some of them are true, actually.
Yes,
so, you never know.
I was hoping that Steve would have brought along Jack Ham, have the hammer out to really show us what a golfer he is. One of these years.
Yeah, it makes me nervous, though. I don't know if I could play along with Jack, in the same foursome as Jack.
I think you could grow into it.
I'm afraid of what he might think.
Yeah, well, that's true. There is that downside, Kevin.
Right. I'm afraid of what he might think in the long run.
Yeah, but like he'd say to Steve, "You're doing a show with who again?"
He thinks they're gonna take who in the first round?
Well, anyway, tomorrow, good afternoon at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for the Truman Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. A great cause.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay. We thought maybe you hit
Jack called. Let me guess.
No, we thought maybe you hit your foot again.
Actually, no. Kevin is
Jack called.
No.
I would have put money on it. I'm more confident about that than the Steelers trading down on Thursday.
Steve, we just commented. we just commented about Jack Ham and being in a foursome with you someday, and with Kevin as one of the other members of that foursome.
Are you drinking?
Exactly. Heavily. Very heavily medicated right now.
Who does Jack think the Steelers are going to take?
We weren't talking about that.
Oh, there's a shocker.
We were talking about tonight. And there are two recruits that are making their announcement tonight.
Yes.
One's a tackle, one's a quarterback.
Verbal, right?
They're all verbals, yeah. Until the first.
Well, that's what
Wednesday
I thought, but you know, I wanted to make sure I was
until
clear.
Until the first Wednesday of February.
Right.
So obviously, Kevin's absolutely correct. I mean, you know,
doesn't happen often.
Now the next, you know. Now the next part is like if you get them to keep them,
yeah.
all the way through. Because believe me, that doesn't mean the process. Hey, it's now over. Yeah. No, it's
verbal.
It doesn't work
verbal
that
isn't
way.
Like a handshake, and your word is your bond. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Well, it's a handshake. Yeah,
exactly right.
It's like a handshake with a wink and a nod attached to it.
Yeah, but we were talking about the possibilities.
Yeah. Well, there's the one tackle, I believe, is from the Pittsburgh area without going into any more. He's a rather large athletic fellow.
Oh, yes. I've.
And, yeah, tonight's the night.
Yeah. And that individual is making his announcement this evening, about a little more than an hour from now, and then there's a quarterback in New Jersey that's also has it down to five schools and is also announcing this evening too. So
wow.
We'll see how that plays out. But allegedly, Penn State's in the finals for each guy, and he and I talked about the possibilities.
Yes.
Of that, we also talked about, let's see, that he asked if I was going to be in Pittsburgh Thursday. And I said, no, I'm speaking in Ohio Thursday night. He goes, oh, he says, Friday, by the way. I said, yes. He says, expect a picture from Pebble Beach. I said, fabulous. I said, Wednesday, expect a picture from Hummel's Wharf.
It's not quite as picturesque as Pebble Beach, but, you know.
Well, they.
I'll tell you right now, the hole I love at Susquehanna Valley Country Club, the hole I love, and it's a if first of all, the idea of parring it is not really, but it's that par three down the hill with the creek in front, which is a very difficult hole to drive the ball onto. It's an undulating green, where to me, if you play the ball in front of the creek and chip on, it's kind of like one of the better plays. You know what I'm talking about. It's the one that goes right there where 11 and 15 is.
Oh, right up front.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's number three.
Because the next hole, I think, is a par four, isn't it? And it's next to a Dunkin' Donuts?
No, Dairy Queen.
Dairy Queen?
Yeah. Well, Kevin knows that right. Spot. Yeah.
Yes, I do.
It is no greater thrill than I'll be back with a blizzard in a minute.
Don't you find it ironic that every time I play that hole, I play it down the right side,
yeah.
right next to the Dairy Queen drive through
balls in the Dairy Queen parking lot.
I always find it ironic that the rest of us are waiting for you. Oh, here he comes.
I found my ball.
Steve, I thought your favorite hole at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club was the watering hole, but I could be wrong.
By the way, it's...
But in terms of picturesque, that hole's gorgeous.
Speaking of the par three, third, right next to routes 11 and 15, if you're driving in that area between 8 and 8:45, please be on the lookout. I usually end up on the road.
Yeah, you'll get a good chance to have a souvenir if you're the appropriate fan.
5 hours of my life I will never get back.
No, that's true.
Think of the stories you'll tell.
To your grandchildren.
I have to admit that when it comes to golf and stories, you are the gift that keeps on giving.
A new one every year.
Horty's going to play golf with us tomorrow.
He's the gift that keeps on giving, too.
Yeah, Steve, we'll see you tomorrow.
Bob, can't wait to see you.